Welcome to another episode of Believe in Rangers, a New York Rangers podcast presented by Blue York on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, and we've got a great show for you today with ESPN NHL reporter Emily Kaplan talking about all the free agency chaos, a little free agency recap, talk about the Rangers signings, and talk about everything else going on in the NHL. So we got that, we got a lot more, so let's get into it.
It's a hat trick for Mika Zibanejad. Kako shoots, he scores. Kako.
Let's go Rangers! Let's go Rangers!
A lot of Ranger fans might be a little disappointed with what's going on in free agency. I know everyone's a little upset we got rid of Pavel Buchnevich. But the one thing that the Rangers were kind of focused on, I feel like this offseason, was adding toughness. And we've done that with Patrick Nemeth and Jared Tenorti on the back end. I do love the two-year extension for Filip Hedl. I think Hedl has a lot of promise. I know fans are, you know, a little indifferent about the loss of Brett Howden. I was a fan of Howden. I liked his 200-foot game, but you know, I know a lot of Ranger fans thought that he was a bit overrated, or you know, maybe not as useful as some of these other guys. But I'm super excited that we got Barclay Goodrow. I think he's a guy that we actually really needed. He reminds me of Ryan Callahan back in the day when Callahan was the captain for the Rangers, blocking shots, getting in the dirty areas, getting to the net, and scoring greasy goals. So I do think Barclay Goodrow is a great signing. I'm very happy about that. The Rangers also signed Greg McKegg to an extension, and they signed Dryden Hunt. I don't know much about Hunt. McKegg has been fine. He's a good fourth-line guy, good guy to have in the lineup. They've definitely done their job by going out and getting toughness, but I do still think we need more skill. I really don't know if this is a better team than we had last year right now. I mean, we're going to have to wait till opening night, obviously, but I still think there's so much more that we need if we really want to be able to contend for a Stanley Cup. I forgot to mention that we got Sammy Blais in that Pavel Buchnevich trade. Sammy Blais, Stanley Cup champion, great player. I think he's a great addition to the lineup also. Like I said, they've done a great job getting toughness. My cousin actually dropped a funny line the other day. He called me and said, if the Rangers wanted to beat up Tom Wilson this offseason, that's what they got. They got some guys that can now beat up Tom Wilson, but I don't know how well we're going to do in the season if that's our only focus. I thought that was pretty funny and very accurate to what we've done so far this offseason. I do think there's still a couple moves that should be made and will be made. I don't want to talk too much because I do want to save it for Emily Kaplan, which is an amazing interview. I think you guys will really enjoy it. Emily's awesome, and she's done a great job dropping news, or cap bombs, as they've been calling them on Twitter, with the free agency signings and all the trades that have been happening. But before we get into the interview, I do want to talk about our sponsor, Blue York. For those of you who still don't know, Blue York is a fan-made brand that makes custom designs, content, and apparel for the Blue Shirts. They make their own logo incorporating the Rangers colors and are really cool. So check them out at iambluyork.com or on social media at iambluyork on Instagram and Twitter. And use code Johnny to get 15% off on their website, iambluyork.com. iambluyork.com. That's code Johnny, all caps, J-O-N-N-Y, to get 15% off of their website with their incredible merch. With the season coming up, you definitely want to be decked out in the Blue York merchandise. That's about all I've got for the intro to this episode. I really hope you guys enjoy this interview with Emily Kaplan. Very excited to be joined by my good friend, the ESPN NHL reporter, Emily Kaplan. Emily, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Johnny. How are you?
I am good, but for starters, I got to ask you, what is your average screen time for the last like 2 weeks on your phone?
Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. It literally is especially embarrassing because I got the notification on Sunday, one of those that like your screen time up like 38%. Uh-huh. I think it was at like 8 or 9.
8 or 9 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nothing. I thought it'd be like 15.
Really?
Yeah, 8 or 9 is like my daily screen time.
Oh, okay.
I thought it'd be like literally 15 to 18 hours.
Oh no. Okay. And then I feel really good about myself.
Yeah. No, that's
just really the issue though. I'm on my computer all the time and I text on my computer.
Okay. So you cheated your way out. That's fair.
1000%. Go to Instagram fair. On my computer. It's like all the things that I should be doing on my phone.
Well, I was actually super curious too, because like obviously, you know, everyone has like a Slack channel now with their company, and on like free agency day, is there like an ESPN insider Slack that you guys are just like you, Kevin Weeks and Greg Wyshynski are just typing like, hey, I heard this, you know?
I love to think that. I was texting Weeksy all day, but we're old school. We're texting, SMS.
SMS, actually?
He's a big call guy too. Like I'm on the phone with people a lot, but yeah, one day we should get on Slack or be like the cool kids, actually be on my phone.
Yeah, you can send gifts and everything too. It's super fun, Slack. I love Slack.
Whoa.
Yeah, avatar.
Yeah, and then you can get the little like pin. If you like did a little face of Johnny, you can like react to it, like make your own emoji.
Yeah, that'd be nice for ESPN.
Do it. I have like a wish one.
But that brings you to the next point. I mean, we've seen a lot of chaos like over the years with like the NBA and free agency day, but do you think there was more chaos this year just because of the league or because also that ESPN was reporting it as opposed? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess there was a lot of people reporting it, but I was watching the ESPN ESPN Plus video the entire day.
Yeah, well, so that was actually the TSN feed, which is, it was cool because Weeksy and I got to go on it. And it was kind of like a little cross promotion because ESPN actually owns like 30% of TSN. We're brothers and sisters. But it was a crazy week just in general. I mean, honestly, this month has been crazy, right? Like Stanley Cup final, buyout window, entry draft, expansion draft, free agency. I honestly was worried about guys not getting paid because everyone was making such a big deal about this flat salary cap, yada, yada, yada. I was like, oh, contracts are going to be small. But like, no, people were partying like it's 2019. Like a lot of money was thrown out. So it was pretty exciting.
Did you have like a game day routine for Wednesday or
not? Good question. Honestly, it was like, yeah, like my first big free agency. It's been at the rights. We're like trying to show that we can do things. I was sitting right here. I was actually appearing on TSN like every once in a while. They would call me. I only think I had like 3 hits during the day. Phone right there. Obviously, it was on my computer more. That's when my screen time was down. Uh-huh. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, you did break the news about the Tyler Johnson trade, right?
I did. That was the night before. It was kind of crazy. Oh, I was actually, yeah, I was out with friends at dinner when I started getting some texts about it. So I was the most obnoxious and was like, I've got to go to the corner right now.
Uh-huh. And I saw people on Twitter call it the cap boom.
Like a Woj bomb. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, you got your own little thing now.
Yeah, Woj is actually, he's incredible. He's been mentoring me a bit and showing me some tricks of the trade. So I'm definitely not at his level or anywhere close, but I feel like he'd be proud if people made a nickname after me.
Yeah, no, I thought it was actually really clever and kind of witty. But I need to know, like, as, you know, an insider or a reporter, I guess, what is the feeling like of, you know, dropping big news like that? I mean, your phone obviously must be blowing up too, like.
Yeah, no, it's honestly, it's pretty nerve wracking. Like the Marc-Andre Fleury to Chicago one, I was sitting on that for like 2 hours. The person who was giving me the information was like, you can't put it out yet. The trade call hasn't happened. You can't put it out yet. And I just like knew Elliot Friedman or Pierre LeBrun or one of those guys was going to have it. And so like, I was just like walking around my kitchen, super nervous.
Uh-huh. One thing I hate about Twitter too, and I need to ask you this question also, like, it's so annoying that they don't have an edit button. So have you had the moment where you like tweeted something like, oh fuck, I had a typo and like delete it. And
you're setting me up here for, yeah. And that was really embarrassing because, so I had the Marc-Andre Fleury trade and then the person who I got it from was like, there's actually a minor league player involved.
Uh-huh.
Find out his name. It's Mikhail. He's a Finnish guy. And I think I put both spellings of Mikhail as I went to go like search which one was correct. It was like M-I-K-K-A-E-L. Mm-hmm. Anyway, as I tweeted it, it was Mikhail. I put both
That's
of them
his
in
name?
There. No, it's not his name.
Oh, I was going to say.
I typed it twice and the tweet went out and like had a couple hundred retweets by that point. I was just like, I just got to let it ride.
You did? You let it ride?
I let it ride. And then I did like an oops, LOL. LOL is my go-to. Typing too fast. Sorry.
You always got to own it though, because everyone's just going to come at you and
100%. I also felt really bad for this kid because everyone was saying Marc-Andre Fleury got traded for nothing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't nothing. Like it's a human being, but I got his name wrong. So I made him feel kind of like nothing. So yeah. I'm sorry, Mikhail.
Well, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever the trade was, I think Dougie Hamilton, Noah Hanifin, people were saying that Fox was nothing. So you never know with this kid.
You never know, except the Blackhawks do have him still playing in their organization because, the Vegas Golden Knights are like, we don't even have room for him.
Do they not have an AHL? No, they have an AHL team.
They do. They just like, I can't explain it. I think they just like didn't have a spot for the team for him right now. They're like, why doesn't he just stay in Chicago and play with Rockford? Or I think he's even in the CHL. I should know more about him. Again, he's a human being.
Totally fine. We'll have him on here maybe and make up for it. But
I like that. I can speak some Finnish. Kiitos. Moi moi.
Why do you know Finnish?
And you learn how to say hi and thank you in every language that guys speak in the NHL. It's like this very little piece that goes a long way. Guys really appreciate it.
You shouldn't have said that because now you're going to have to do it.
Oh my gosh. Putting me on the spot.
Well, how many even countries are represented? Like 26 in the NHL?
Yeah, but like the main languages, Finnish, Swedish, Russian, French, always French.
I took Russian in high school.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, because I couldn't handle Spanish.
Have you ever been?
No, I've never been to Russia, nor do I intend on going ever.
You 1000. Okay. Right before the pandemic, I went to Moscow in like January 2020. Mm-hmm. Honestly, one of the sickest trips I've ever been on. It's really? Such a cool city. Oh my God.
What do they have that's like cool?
It's one of those things where like I joke about Chicago that the lakefront is beautiful. Everything is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But like our schools, and they don't give any money to our police departments or any of the right programs. Anyway, so in Russia, Putin puts all of his money into Moscow to be beautiful in Russia, and everything else is kind of shit. So Moscow is gorgeous. It's like they do all these lights on all these buildings. Everyone dresses up. The restaurants are so good. The bars are so classy. Everything's really cheap too. So you kind of can ball out.
How's the food though? I wasn't a big fan of Russian food.
That was the one thing that like you would assume it's bad. The friend who I have who's living there, she's a foodie. So she obviously took me to some good spots, but like, and like the produce was good. It was unbelievable. Like mushrooms, tomatoes. I was very impressed.
I'm actually going to Italy tomorrow, but maybe we'll take a pit stop in Russia.
That's a flex.
Yeah, I had to flex that one. Sorry. It's my first trip to Europe pretty much. Like that's not for hockey. I went to Belfast, Ireland. That's the only place I've ever been in Europe for my freshman year of Friendship 4.
That's incredible. Okay. Yeah. Italy is amazing. Eat all the pasta. It's really what you have to do.
Yeah. I've been dieting this week so I can kind of carbo load for the next 9 days.
As you do, Johnny. Yeah. Poor tip.
Yeah. But you know, I'm going to come back. My mom's going to call me fat for like 2 weeks. So I'll have to, you know, figure it out. But I want to get back into free agency just for a sec. Which team, like, or which move surprised you the most? Because there was so many rumblings and like, you know, the Dougie Hamilton drama. Like, did he sign with the Devils? Did he not sign with the Devils? Was that the biggest surprise? Or was there something else that kind of stands out?
You know, like I had heard Jersey was trying to make a splash. They gave Tom Fitzgerald, their GM, all of the power to do it. So like, I wasn't really surprised by Dougie once we knew that he wasn't going to re-sign in Carolina. The one that really surprised me, to be honest, was Philip Grubauer. Like, I just assumed that he was going to be able to figure it out in Colorado, but I knew there was a chance he would go, but I didn't know it'd be to the Kraken. Like they already had their goaltending set. I kind of feel bad for Chris Drieger because he signed a deal there thinking he'd be the 1A. So that one surprised me a bit.
The Kraken's social media has been awesome too, with all the gifts of like people walking in and walking out, like thanks for the week, you know. Okay. So funny.
I have no idea what they're doing, but their social media is on point.
Yeah, it really is. The Devils too. The Devils are the best social media in like all professional sports in my mind.
They have some really good snarky ones. They had some good ones for New Jersey Day, which I appreciated.
Yeah. I shit on New Jersey Day, but
thank you.
Yeah, sorry. and I guess I do want to go. I know there's a lot of goalie drama. A guy that I have to talk about on here because he's like my New York Ranger hero forever. But Henrik Lundqvist, is there like any talks about, I don't know if you can break news on here, but is there any rumblings like about him making a return? Because I've been saying for such a long time, like the Rangers should do right by him and give him like the send off that he deserves. You know, like it's such a shame that he wasn't able to have like that Derek Jeter moment, you know, in the Garden.
100%. And like, he's the type of class athlete that would get such a good reception everywhere he went if they did a farewell tour for him. Mm-hmm. I have no news to break. I do know though, like just in speaking to people around him, that he wants to play again. And I think he's training now as if he can start to play again. He's just waiting for clearance from doctors. And I think this heart condition sounded really scary, to be honest. Like it's something that he got fixed and he's got good doctors, but like, he's just got a monitor. So once he gets the okay from doctors, I would 0% shock to see him on an NHL team. Just don't know when that's going to be.
Yeah. I saw, I think a couple months ago that he started skating again, which was a great sign.
I think he's making some progress, so we shall see.
But honestly, also like I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And if the Rangers like didn't get rid of him and he wasn't tested by a new team, like who knows if they would have even found that out.
Scary to think about, right?
Yeah, and it happens to so many athletes, I feel like, too, that like get traded and then they have to go through the protocol and like something's wrong and they wouldn't have known. It's really scary, actually.
Yeah, no, it is.
Another Ranger or former Ranger I want to ask you about too, that's been getting a lot of buzz on Twitter and all that stuff, you know, with a friend of mine, Sarah Sivian, but Tony D'Angelo, do you have like high expectations, low expectations for him next season? I mean, he is a good player. Like I liked watching him on the Rangers last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's like, I don't know him personally and I've heard a lot of stories about him, but like, I can't vouch for them. Like you hear stories about guys, you never know what checks out. Yeah. As a player, he was one of the best offensive defensemen in the league when he was playing with the Rangers last. Like he was really, really on the way up and ascending. And like, I felt like people were like, oh, this is going to be a guy on Norris Trophy ballots a couple years from now. So it's interesting too, that the Carolina Hurricanes were the team that picked them up, because besides the New York Islanders, I feel like they're the team with the biggest team identity in the league. Like it's all stems from Rod Brind'Amour, all those guys just like follow his lead, his structure, his way of doing things. So I almost feel like the Canes are like, just put him in our locker room. The vets will take care of him. And like, let's just let him do his thing on the ice. I expect really big things from him. At the same time, like, he's not Dougie Hamilton, and I don't think he's going to replace him.
I'm excited for his first, what do they call it? The storm surge?
Surge, yes.
He's got to lead the first one.
1,000%.
I mean, they call themselves the bunch of jerks, and he seems to be a jerk. Like, from what, I mean, I don't know him personally either, but if there's a, you know, a team that's called a bunch of jerks, he's apparently the biggest jerk out there. So
it's so true. And I also think there's something with that team too, where like everyone kind of has their chip on their shoulder, like just being a smaller market team, not always getting the love from people. So I feel like he does fit into their identity a bit, and yeah, maybe just a bit of a jerk.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to like completely turn around his like identity, and people are going to love him down there. I mean, just from like what I've seen, I obviously, like I said, I don't know him personally, but
he pretty much guaranteed in his press conference, he's like, the fans are going to love me.
Yeah, I saw that. That was, I love that. That was awesome.
I like that bravado. And that's the kind of stuff that I feel like happens all the time in the NBA. And we love it. And we talk about it. We like make quote cards on Bleacher Report. And we just like don't see hockey players talk like that.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I think that we're starting to see the NHL players, you know, kind of manipulate their way out of cities onto new teams, similar to what the NBA does. Like Russell Westbrook just got himself to the Los Angeles Lakers. Do you think hockey culture is starting to do that? Do you think it's bad for the NHL that players like can get themselves out of a team, out of a system? Or do you think it's great for the league and great for the players?
I think it's good for the league. I really do. I think the player empowerment movement is something I never thought I'd see in the NHL. And like, I remember last year with Taylor Hall, everyone was kind of talking about it with him because he almost willed his way to get to the Bruins. Like that was the team he wanted to go to. And I said, do you think that there is like this movement coming behind you? And he's like, I just don't think that hockey players' DNA is like that. But then you see this year, and there's a couple more examples, and I'm wondering if it is something. And, you know, I was in Columbus on draft night and talking to Jarmo Kekalainen and John Davidson right after Seth Jones got traded. And that's exactly what JD told me. He was like, this is something we have seen in so many other sports. Seth Jones has every right in the world to not want to resign here. He just chose not to. And like, we have to respect that. And it's something that younger athletes are going to do. So I think that Taylor Hall might've been the trailblazer, and he just doesn't know it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I actually watched that interview that you put up with John Davidson also. And it's pretty crazy to see all the brothers that are like now teaming up. You know, the McCarr brothers that are both draft. Well, Kale's on the Avalanche and Taylor got drafted there, and the Hughes brothers now in Jersey. And then the Jones brothers in Chicago. It's really cool.
And the Doc brothers in Chicago. Kirby's little brother got drafted that here. Yeah.
That. That's so cool. I actually was, I can't, I'm going to flex again.
Okay. Yeah. Just
kidding. I've already done two. I saw the Hughes brothers, Quinn and Jack, at a bar like 4 months ago in New York. Mm-hmm. And they were both telling me that they love New York City. And I was like, well, you guys should all be on the Rangers in like the future. And they didn't say no. So
there you have it. This is,
I'm giving you the scoop. Yeah. I'm giving you the scoop.
Thank you. Thank you. You got the scoop. Honestly, I love those kids. And I got to know Luke a little bit. I talked to him on the phone in the draft process, and he's so self-assured. Like, he's a really confident kid. I think he might be the best out of the three of them. He's also like a fantasy football freak. I kind of want him to draft my team.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Really into it.
No way. That's so funny. I didn't know that. Well, I don't know why I wouldn't know that, but
yeah, I know. You know about 19-year-olds' habits?
Yeah, no, I mean, I should have assumed maybe, but no, definitely not something I should know. But which free agent or player that was traded in the past like 2-3 days do you think is going to have the biggest impact on their new team next year?
That's a tough call. Trades.
Or signings.
Yeah, no, there's like been so much that's happened. It's like almost hard to digest it all. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about the Seattle signings, honestly. Like, I think that Jaden Schwartz, no one's making a big enough deal about this. He's a very good offensive player. And I'm curious about Grubauer because he was a Vezina finalist last year, and their defense in front of him is really good and really structured. So like, I wonder if those two guys can help the guys that are already there. Like, they have some really good players like Jordan Eberle. Again, their blue line's really good. Like, those are the ones that I think is sneaky, because it feels like everyone is just shitting on Ron Francis, saying like, what is he doing? But he's had time to think about this. I think he knows what he's doing.
Well, that's what I was talking to Adam Kilman on the last episode. And we were saying like how Vegas, you can't compare every expansion team to Vegas. Like, some teams want to build for the future and some teams want to build for now. Like, Vegas clearly, you know, they built for now, but they didn't think they would be that good right away. Like, and Seattle can come out and surprise, but they were clearly building for 3 or 5 years down the road, you know?
Totally. And like, I think people forget though, Vegas, their first year was like, we'll make the playoffs in three and we'll win in five. Like they didn't expect to be good right away. Yeah. Then when they saw what they had, they're like, let's go.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome to watch. And I think Seattle could surprise. Who knows? And I love their jerseys. So weak.
Oh, their jerseys are sick. And they're color so sick. And the Pacific Division's like not that good.
Who's in that division? I should know this.
It's all the California teams. No, you're good. The Oilers are in it. Yeah.
Well, is it going back to normal next season?
Vegas, yeah. And Arizona, the only change is that Arizona then becomes the Central Division.
Gotcha. Okay. And is Nashville staying in the East?
No, they're in the Central.
They are. Because I remember
the last year has messed with all of our brains.
Yeah, no, it's, and you know, I play NHL 21 every now and then, and that just, you know, they didn't update the game.
Another flex.
Yeah. That's not a flex. That's like the opposite. That's like makes me a loser. I'm 25.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. So now I'm back to even, or maybe I'm minus one with the flexes, but you know, I'll take it, I guess. Another interesting thing that I want to talk about too. Last week, Luke Prokop, you know, announced that he was gay, and my friend Eric Hornick, who's a statistician for the Islanders, I went to high school with his son, one of my really good friends, tweeted out that, like, you know, a year ago, this is not an interview you would have seen on ESPN. It's just the way it is. And for you, like, that's a powerful moment. Like, not only for you personally, but for hockey culture in general. Like, how cool is it for you to report that and interview him right after it happened?
It was really cool. And like getting to know him a bit, just like such a sweet kid, but also just so brave. Like, think about it like this: in the 104-year history of the NHL, no active player has ever come out, or no retired player even has ever come out. And for a kid who's like 19, trying to make it in the league, doing this and putting himself out there in that way, it's not even just coming out as gay. It's just like putting yourself out there as, like, I hate to say it, but like a distraction, or just making a story about yourself, because that's so against hockey players' DNA. It's just incredible. And he's like, the best way I can be and the most successful, you know, I can be, I need to live openly and authentically. So I thought it was incredible bravery that he was doing. I thought it was such a big moment for the league. And it was just like an honor to get to chat with him and being able to be one of the first people to put his face out there and introduce him to America. So that was really cool. He's honestly like such a sweet guy, and I wish the best for him. And I think the outpouring of support that he got was just so encouraging. And I think he really feels supported.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was refreshing Twitter I refresh Twitter every 10 minutes as it is, but
no wonder your screen time is so high.
Yeah. I got my work computer to my left and Twitter on my right on my personal computer at work. But I hope no one from work listens to this. But it was awesome. And I really think, like, I mean, we saw Carl Nassib in the NFL. Like, it's only going to be more and more guys that are, you know, getting comfortable, I think, because obviously, like, the world's changed and there are, you know, people that are gay that don't have the ability to share. And you know, it's great what Luke was able to do for not only hockey players, athletes in general, but just people in general too, because so many eyes are on hockey players. And I think it'll only make more people comfortable, you know?
It's so true. And like, I think it's just such a vulnerable thing to like want to get into a profession and say, like, be so open about who you are. But he felt last year like he wasn't his best self on the ice because this was weighing on him. And he was really distressed by all of the things that are happening when you're closeted. And he's like, the only way I can have success is to be open. And like, if you just think about it, it's such a good lesson for all of us. Mm-hmm. Like, best way we can be successful is just to be ourselves.
Yeah. And speaking of that, is ESPN, I don't know if, you know this yet or anything, but are there any plans to do like player features like on ESPN and that, like, what are they called? The not E60s. Is that what they're called?
Yeah. E60s are kind of like our big storytelling things. But the cool thing is we're going to have a studio show that's weekly, kind of like the Jump is for the NBA. Cool. And because it's weekly and not daily, it's going to be more magazine style. And so we're going to have like big sit down interviews, features on what guys are like off the ice, some more like hard hitting segments, some really, really fun segments. It won't just be highlights. It'll be analysis, because we have so many analysts that we hired. So I'm really pumped for that. And I think that's going to be really good for the hockey fan.
Who's the cast for that?
I think it's going to be a rotating cast, honestly. Like, I'm not positive who's going to host yet, but like, I'd imagine Bucci's involved. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine that Levy's involved, Linda. And then just like literally all of the people that we've hired, like, it's a pretty good roster. I think they'll all have some part in it.
No, that's so fun. I mean, the roster is insane. And I'm actually excited to see Mark Messier, like, do the, you know, analyst things. I haven't seen anything from Messier in the last like 10 years, I feel like.
No, neither have I. And honestly, it was sick. The other day we had like our first big staff call and it was on Zoom and it was just crazy. Like scrolling over, everyone's name is like Mark Messier, John Tortorella's iPad. Ryan Callahan was there from Rochester. It was cool. There's lots of Rangers connections.
Yeah. I didn't even mention that you were a big Rangers fan growing up. Like how cool was it for you to be around all these guys?
It's super cool. I it's something that has become normalized in this job at the same time. Like me and my high school field hockey teammate used to call each other Callie because we like loved Ryan Callahan. Uh-huh. Like I would never say that to his face and I hope he's not listening to this.
He's actually a loyal listener.
Oh, great, great, great to hear. We also called each other Shanny for Brendan Shanahan because we loved him for Ranger in his like 1 year stint.
He was good though.
Yeah. It was a lot
in the shootout.
Yes.
He was money in the shootout with that quick wrister.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, speaking of the Rangers also, Jack Eichel, anything?
Maybe. Yeah, I honestly, they're working on it, right? And I think this is just such a big deal for Kevin Adams, the Buffalo GM. Like, this is a franchise-defining deal, and you don't want to fuck it up. No. Sorry, I keep cursing. It's bad.
No, but I prefer it.
Okay, great. He does not want to fuck it up. And so he's just making sure he can get a really big return. The issue is now there was a bunch of teams that were in on Jack Eichel, and now that free agency has passed, like, they're not interested anymore. Like, the LA Kings were a team that were super interested. They get Philip Deneau. They don't really need him anymore. So really, the Rangers are kind of one of the last teams standing. And we'll see also with Chris Drury of how hard of a line he's going to draw. Of like, no, I don't want to give up my top prospects, or no, I don't want to give up this many draft picks. So I think there's a chance.
I'm surprised with how like little moves they've made. I mean, I actually tweeted the other day like that this Rangers offseason feels like a Knicks offseason, like so much built up for nothing, you know?
Yeah, no, I think it's one of those things too where like Chris Drury, he's a really calculated guy and he's got a plan and he doesn't just want to come out like guns a-blazing. He wants to make sure that like what he does, he doesn't fuck up either.
I don't want to say biggest underdog, but what team next year do you think can surprise a lot of, you know, people around the league or just the NHL in general?
I really like the Minnesota Wild. I love Kaprizov. I think that he, sick. It honestly reminds me of like Ovechkin in DC. Elias Pettersson was like this to an extent in Vancouver where like one player comes and the entire like complexion of the franchise changes. And I love Ryan Suter and Zach Parise as players. I think they were getting older. I think they kind of owned the locker room personality wise and they want to like turn it over to the young kids. And I think Cam Talbot too could have a really sneaky good season. So that's a team and their defense too. Like they've got some really good young defensemen. I'm pretty high in the Minnesota Wild. I think they'd make the playoffs and they can make a little bit of a run.
Yeah. I mean, they almost surprised Vegas this year. That would have been crazy.
Mm-hmm. That feels like years ago.
You were there, right? You were at that game?
I started covering Vegas the next series. So I did not see that one. It went to 7. That was great.
Yeah, it was sick. Are you going to be the first game in Seattle next year?
I hope so. We have 2 opening night games on ESPN. One is Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh and the other is Seattle, Vegas. So hopefully get one of them.
Well, what is your schedule going to be like? Are you traveling a lot next year on the road or are you like in the studio most nights covering the games?
No, unclear so far. Like I think I'll be on the road for some games. I think I'll be here in Chicago for some, just doing some stuff from home, maybe going to Bristol. Like it's crazy. The season's going to come here before we know it, but we're still kind of figuring things out at ESPN.
Because of the COVID stuff and work from home or just.
Yeah, no, I think it's just like we're covering a whole new sport. We had to hire a bunch of new people. First, they figured out all the front end facing talent. And now they're figuring out the stuff behind the scenes. Then they'll put everyone together. But like, we have like a big rookie like mini camp in September and that's going to be, it's going to be in Chicago. Everyone's going to be there and we're going to, you know, get our assignments, run through some drills and be ready to go.
Like an actual combine?
I am really hoping so.
They better film that.
My laptop ready to like type.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. I would love to see like a media combine. That'd be so funny.
I feel like they've done spoofs of that around the NFL combine. Like, I feel like I've seen some like parody videos, but they should do it for real.
Darren Revelle running the 40. I got to have you guys skate a hot lap.
I would do it.
Yeah. I mean, can you skate?
Yes.
I don't know. Wow. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I said that very defensively.
Yeah.
I was a figure skater growing up, but I always wanted to play. I was a field hockey player, but I always put on hockey skates.
Well, yeah, you said field hockey.
Fast. Yes.
So another thing too, like this just came to my head, obviously, but like with women's hockey, is that going to be featured on ESPN at all or is that a completely different entity?
No. We're getting there. I think some PWHPA games, they have been on ESPN Plus. Like, I'm hoping more and more. We don't have the rights to any of their international packages yet, but like if they have, you know, some tournaments coming up, I heard there's a tournament actually, and this is going to be sick. I really want to go in Ireland. It's going to be a Three Nations Cup between US, Russia, and Finland in like November. So like, hopefully that's something that like ESPN 2 could pick up.
In Belfast?
I hope so.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know if there's another rink in Ireland. That's the only rink.
Yeah, that's what I was very curious about because I never hear about Irish hockey.
Well, they had the Belfast Giants that play in the EIHL. That rink is sick. They like pack it. It's a great time. That rink's awesome. That'd be a really cool trip.
Yeah, let's go. I'm manifesting it now.
You could see the Game of Thrones castles and stuff. I don't know if you were a fan of that.
Oh, I was a fan.
You were? I watched like 3 seasons and I was like, you know what? I can't take it anymore.
What?
Yeah. I get shit on a lot for that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a bad take. I shouldn't show that anymore.
That's okay. Emily, thank you so much. Like, always love having you on. And I hope you come on again in the future if you're not too busy. But can't wait for this season. And I'm obviously going to keep following you on Twitter and keep getting all the news. So hopefully you can text me when Jack Eichel comes to the Rangers. And I will be the first one to know.
I was about to say, you're going to be my first text. I'm not even telling my editors. It's Johnny first, then put on Twitter. That's the order.
And well, you owe me because if the Hughes brothers come to New York, you got it from me.
Oh, 100%. But like, people will go back and watch this episode and they'll hear you say it. So they'll know who the scoop is.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Johnny.
I want to thank my good friend Emily Kaplan once again for joining the show. For those of you who ever have any questions or any topics that you want me to ask a guest, please send an email to believeinrangers@gmail.com, BLEAVINRangers@gmail.com, or just shoot me a DM on Instagram or Twitter. I'm very responsive, and I like asking fan questions. I want to be the voice of the Rangers fans. I am all about the Rangers fans. I am one of the biggest Ranger fans, and I know there's plenty of people out there that are way bigger Rangers fans than I am, so I would love for you guys to interact a little bit more, ask your questions, whatever it is you want. And, you know, I do my best to never miss a message, never ignore you. So I know a lot of people have submitted questions and stuff, and I love that. That's what it's all about. So, you know, don't be afraid. Shoot me a DM, shoot me an email, whatever it is. And I'm more than happy to bring up your question to any guest that I have on this show. That is going to wrap it up for this episode. There won't be an episode next week. I'll be traveling on vacation, so hopefully I don't miss too much in the news. I will still be checking Twitter every now and then, but you know, if there's any big news, just tweet it at me and let me know because I won't be on my phone 24/7. So I definitely need to find out what's happening. I love you guys. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.